bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Hallelujah. Stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord God. Oh, we just speak your healing anointing, Father. The top of their heads and the soles of their feet. Heal them and make them whole. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. We bless you. Heal them and make them whole. In Jesus. In Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God said you'd be fat and flourishing in your old age. Hallelujah. Praise your mighty name. Glory to God. Ah, yes, Lord God. Praise. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Heal him and make him whole. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got one. Put it on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yes, Lord God. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah, we bless you. Praise you. Heal her, Lord. Touch her. Touch them, Lord God. Let your healing anointing flow, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Oh, yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Praise. Oh, yes, Lord God. Oh, yes, Lord God. Bless you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise. Praise you, mighty God.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, anything that violates his body's got to go. Right now,
in Jesus.
By your Spirit, we are waiting on the miraculous to Heavenly Father. Right now, God, move by your Spirit, oh God. Allow her to break free from the chains that may bind her physically and to leave spiritually, God. Allow her to walk within her purpose, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, amen, amen. Love you. Need a handkerchief? Hallelujah. Somebody give God some praise in the house. Amen.
Yes. healing today, dear Heavenly Father. The same way we're expecting a natural healing in our flesh, we're expecting a healing in our marriages, oh God. Those that are not here, God, I pray that you would reach them right where they are, God. Open up their eyes and ears of understanding. Allow them to understand their true role, God, as a spouse. Father, draw them back into the house. Those that are here, dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would continue to strengthen their marriages, that they would go closer, that they would focus on you, that their marriage would draw to you.
Yes, Lord God.
Father, this is about you, and you're going to use this house, dear Heavenly Father, to prove to Ironton and this tri-state area that you are still on your throne.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here, Carolyn, come stand right here. Bernie. Come on. Debbie, come here. Debbie, come here. Hallelujah. We didn't get to do this. We did this Sunday, but we didn't get to do this for Carolyn. So she's here. She's obviously excited about God. So. Carolyn is a student of the Word, for sure. She has a heart for God's Word. She has a heart for God's people. God has placed her here with us. She is a gift here in our body. And this morning, we just want to recognize her gifts like we did last week. And we, by recognizing that gift, we are ordaining her. And it says, Carolyn Webb has been duly ordained as a minister of the gospel according to the word of God, and the church of the King is hereby commended to the church for ministry. The bearer shall have authority to administer Holy Communion, to solemnize matrimony, and perform all the duties belonging to the ministry of the word. In testimony thereof, we have hereunto affixed the seal of the church of the King and our signatures. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we just ask that your anointing continue upon Carolyn's life, Lord God. I pray, Lord, you will give her wisdom, that you will give her revelation knowledge of your word, Lord, and allow her to teach that word clearly and precisely. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, you're welcome. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you that don't have a spouse but you want one, this prayer is for you. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for all our single men and women, Lord. And Father, I pray that upon your timing only, you would send them a spouse that loves you with all their heart in order that they might love them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody need an offering envelope? Praise his mighty name. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. The ladies' conference was good for them to go. They were blessed, ministered to, and we made that connection with E4N. Hallelujah. Anybody need an offering envelope? Bernie's got them. Anybody need two? You got so much money you need two? Bernie's got them. Hallelujah. And I got an empty box. If you got so much money it won't fit two envelopes, we got an empty box over here we can pass around. Amen. Y'all blessed. You say what? You know, God don't need my money. You're right. You're absolutely right. God does not need your money. But the church does. Amen. The church does. Electric's on. You've been warm this winter. Hopefully we'll be cool this summer. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the preacher's fat, so you must be doing something right. Glory. Well, let's pray, and Bernie will take up the offering. Father, we thank you. We thank you for seed we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you will multiply it, you'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. How can I take this 2.5 hour message and condense it to 30 minutes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, if I preach for 2 hours, 30 minutes, at least Golden Corral will be empty by the time you get there.
Perspective.
There you go, perspective. You like that story. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. For those of you who don't know, we're teaching on the feast days in Sunday school at 10:30. Started this morning. You can still get a book, and Terry might be able to make you a DVD of class one if you sweet talk him. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. We need to pray. Because in my notes, I have Romans chapter 7. And if anybody's going to unlock the truth in Romans chapter 7, it'll have to be God. Amen. And he's got me in Romans chapter 7 this week. Actually had me in it last week, and we had so much going on. Actually it was the week before. I had so much happening, I never got to it. So let's pray and we'll study God's word this morning. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you. I thank you for your word and what it means to us. I ask you, Lord, that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. Father, give us revelation of the Apostle Paul's message to the church at Rome this morning. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, don't jump to Romans 7 first. We got to get a little backdrop. Last time, I didn't preach last week, Bishop Brad did. But the week before, we talked about the spirit of Antichrist and how in 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John said that even now, the spirit of Antichrist is among us. And we looked at that word Antichrist. Anti carries the idea of being against. So the Antichrist is going to be against God, against God's Messiah, and against God's people. Amen. Right? If you turn with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Glory to God. It's been a good day. We could have went home. Well, we're good. We'll hang in there a little longer. I need to show you something. Then I can get into my message. Verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How many know Lucifer is speaking about Hasatan, or what we call Satan, the devil, slewfoot? You know? O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. Talking about the Holy Temple Mount. On the farthest sides of the north, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now look what he says. I will be like the Most High. How many of you know that whenever there's a presidential State of the Union, and whatever president speaks, they'll have somebody from the opposite party give a rebuttal, right? Amen. Well, we've heard Satan speak here now. He's told us everything he's going to do. Well, now God's going to give his own rebuttal here. Verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. How many know that's hell?
Amen.
Okay. To the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble? When we finally see him, we're going to say, what? This is it? You're the one that tricked me. You're the one that made nations tremble. This is it. God goes on to say, this is the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. All the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But what? Look what he says. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. So God has given his rebuttal. No, you're not going to exalt your throne above mine. You are going to be brought down to the depths of hell, to the pit of hell. Amen? But I want you to see something. Old Slewfoot says, I will ascend. I will exalt. I will also settle on the mount of the congregation. I will be like the Most High God. You know, in America today and around the world, we have this God. We don't have a statue for it, but it's called humanism. Humanism at its core says, hey, whatever Bernie determines to be right is right. Whatever Bernie determines to be wrong is wrong. It's up to you. Truth is relevant. There are no absolute truths. Whatever feels good, if it feels good for you, then go for it. That's humanism. The God of humanism, well, humanists don't believe in God. How many of you know globalists? You understand the term globalist by now. Somebody wants a one world order, one world government, one world religion and economic system. They are, for the majority, they are atheists. They don't believe in God either. They think good behavior and morality can be created through reason. You can reason with the Taliban. You can reason with ISIS. I mean, we had one senator said, you know, the problem is, you know, they just don't have jobs. I can't remember who it was, a woman. And then I seen one of the liberal commentators on the news agree with her. They just need jobs. ISIS needs jobs. That's the reason they're acting up. They just need jobs. Huh. You know, when I acted up around my mother, she actually laid hands on me multiple times growing up. It had nothing to do with me not having a job. I had a job. I cut grass. I passed papers. I bought my first pair of Converse Chucks myself because Mom thought they were too expensive. She bought me these Red Ball Jets. Remember them? Make you run faster, leap higher. All lies, all lies. Marketing tools, that's all. But they were cool. Because they were high top, had a little red ball on the side, and you could roll up your pants legs and look like Opie Taylor. Now, I know most of this congregation knows exactly who I'm talking about when I say Opie Taylor. There might be one or two. I'm not sure about it. But Opie's on reruns all the time. I seen a picture of Opie the other day. Opie looks rough. Oh, he'd probably say the same thing about me. Let me go get back here. Humanism. Good behavior, morality can be created through reason. The liberals, the humanists are very concerned about equal rights and equal opportunity. They're pro-abortion, equal rights for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgender, transsexual, and I'm not even sure what some of this is. Okay? Right? You can explain if somebody knows what a transsexual is. You can tell me later. Same-sex marriage, physician-assisted suicide. They're all about separation of church and state. They're for open borders, health care for illegal immigrants. And in Romans 7, Paul warns us about humanism. Now, Paul's not going to call it humanism. He's going to call it flesh. So let's jump over there to Romans chapter 7. Lord, we need your Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 7, page 1500, and drum roll, please. 1559. Here we go. Let's tackle it. Verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for what I speak to those who know the law? Now, when you think of law here, in this particular time, we're thinking Torah, God's commands, God's teaching. That the Torah has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Did you know that? As long as I'm alive on this earth, then the commands of God, the statutes of God, the word of God has dominion over me. Amen? So everything I just read you about humanism and liberals, they don't care about the word of God, right? Nothing in there that their beliefs state that they believe in the dominion of God's word in one's life. Verse 2. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the Torah to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the Torah of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the Torah, really? Through the body of Messiah, that you may be married to another, to him who has raised from the dead, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. First of all, Paul's reminding us of what the Word of God says. Now, for anybody that's been divorced, such as myself, when I remarried my wife, I did not commit adultery. The Bible in Deuteronomy 25 clearly states that if you give a woman a writing of divorcement, you are legally divorced. It was God's idea. I used to have a woman on my deacon's list when we went to New Life Church. It wasn't called that then, was it? New Life Victory Center, we went there. And her husband, they'd been divorced 10 years, but her husband, he kept coming around and saying, "You're still married to me, you're still married to me." She said, "What do I do?" I wanted to say, give him the finger and tell him to hit the road, but you know, that really wasn't right. That's not the Christian thing to do. You know? But he was just being overbearing. He didn't want her as a wife. He just wanted all the goodies that went with having a wife. You know? I don't have to explain that to anybody to do it. Okay. All right? So God did give provision for divorce. Amen? And Jesus said, Jesus used the term put away. If you put away your wife and she goes and marries another, then she commits adultery. Well, putting away was a pagan custom. All it was, all Bernie would have to tell Deb, he wouldn't live through this, but all he would have to tell her is, "Hey, I didn't like the way you fixed that cake today. Hit the road." That's it. She had to leave with whatever she had on her. But then he might get to feeling bad and go looking for her. Well, by then, she might have been taken in by another man because she don't have anything. Back in ancient times, she don't have anything. She might be taken in by another man. So he goes looking for her. And he finds her. She's with another man. So he says, she's committing adultery. And he'll want to throw her a rock party. Right? So, to be legally divorced, you had to give a writing of divorcement. Okay? You couldn't put them away. Jesus talked to the woman at the well, and the man that I'm with now, he's not my husband. He said to her, you have well said he's not your husband, but you've had four previous husbands. So if Jesus had not recognized each divorce, he wouldn't have said you had four husbands. He would have just said, hey, you've shacked up four or five times. But he didn't. He recognized the divorce. So this is not my message, but I want to clear that up just in case anybody had been divorced. Okay? The point that Paul's making here is that the Torah binds you to one person. But he says, therefore, my brethren, in verse 4, you also have become dead to Torah through the body of Messiah. And look what he says, that you may be married to another. In other words, when it comes to Messiah, when it comes to Christ, Debbie's not bound to me. She's bound to him. She's free in the spirit to marry Yeshua, Jesus. Amen? See, I want to talk about holiness here in a minute. But the real power of holiness is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? You're to be wed to him. I love my wife. But the first minutes of every day, I try to give to God. Amen? Because he's my husband. I'm in him. That make any sense to you? We're talking spiritually now. So Paul's trying to make a spiritual point. Does that make any sense? God, you got to help us.
Amen.
Okay? See, if we were talking about another man, well, I'd have a real problem with my dad. You know, you would too. But now we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about spiritually. Where does he dwell? In us. Let's keep going. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the Torah, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. You with me? You ever met any religious folks? A lot of religious folks are meaner than rattlesnakes. I don't care how high that bun is, that don't make them any more holy than me. I don't care how long that dress is, that don't make them any more holy than me. I don't care how pale that face is with no makeup, that don't make them any more holy than me. I used to stop it on Sunday night. We had church here on Sunday night. I used to stop at this restaurant called J.R. Valentine's. And it was four men in there. One night they was in there. One guy had a silky blue suit on. Another guy had a silky lime suit on. Another guy had a silky shiny red suit. And the other one, to complete the ensemble, he had a gold one on. It's really more yellow. And the pastor had a little diamond stud. And their wives are sitting over there, pale as Casper. Can't hardly get out of that chair to go to the bathroom because their skirt's so long. That's not holiness. Holiness is Christ in you.
Amen.
Amen. Go over, if you would. Go over to chapter 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation To those who are in Messiah Jesus, who do not walk according to humanism or the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Don't let anybody heap any guilt on you or condemnation on you because of something you did in your past. Because you are free from that past. Because you are now in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're no longer running after that flesh or after that humanism. Because you have the power of holiness dwelling in you in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul's not talking about the Torah now. He's talking about the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The wages of sin is death. Amen. I'm free from that. Jackie's free from that. Mike is free from that. I don't know about the rest of... No, I do know about the rest of... We're free from the wages of sin, which is death. Amen. If I die, my spirit goes to be with Jesus. My body awaits for that trumpet to sound. Oh! Come on now. Verse 3. For what the law could not do. Now he's back to the Torah. For what the Torah could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh or humanism, but according to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We talked about how your most valuable commodity that you have, the most precious thing you have, is your time. I mean, it's like God just took his finger and has sped up time.
Amen.
His prophetic clock is moving and moving rapidly.
Amen.
Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. See, that carnal mind wants to worry and fret. You know that? It wants to worry and fret. I admitted that the other night. Every now and then when things get bad, my carnal mind wants to worry and fret. But my spirit, man, wants to get in the Word of God and build me back up.
Amen.
Amen. So where are we at? Verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he is not his. And if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I said all that just to satisfy the point that the power of true holiness, and I'm going to get to this in a minute, the power of true holiness is not you being able to overcome donuts on your own. Huh? The true power of holiness is Christ living in you. That's the true power in your life. You know, I went to a reunion, a softball reunion at the Nazarene Church. Anybody that ever played softball over the years, they had a little reunion, had a really good speaker. He was an umpire in the major leagues. He's been umpiring for many, many years. He lives over in Boyd County somewhere. Some of you might know him. But he's a Christian. His father was a pastor. He had a really good talk. But I went up to this one guy. I said, are you so-and-so? Because it looked like him, but wasn't sure. Been a long time, 30-some years probably. I said, are you so-and-so? He said, well, what's left of him? What's left of him? See, I had breakfast yesterday. Please, men, don't get mad at me, okay? I'm just being honest. I went to a men's prayer breakfast yesterday with my brother's church. I was in Marietta. They were having breakfast and prayer. Hey. I'm there. So I went. And Gordy's got more men in his church than we do. And there's a lot of them that are our age, you know. But he's got a handful of young ones, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, if I took the best part of each man in our congregation, we still wouldn't be whole. Huh? But we will never throw in the towel when we burn it. We will fight this good fight of faith till we get there. Now, I want to ask you something. In Leviticus 19:2, turn over there. Leviticus 19:2, I got a few minutes. I'm talking about me. I'm going to use that line. Are you Butch Deer? Well, what's left of him? What's left of him? Amen. Bible says we'll be fat and flourishing in our old age. Glory to God. In Judaism, you don't know anything till you reach our age, Mike. You're just a young whippersnapper until you start getting some gray hair. I don't know about the no hair, but the gray hair. It's a symbol of wisdom. Verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So I want to ask you something this morning. Do you believe that this is the holy word of God?
Amen.
So, if I throwed it on the ground and kicked it, you'd get mad. We sing a song, Rise Up, Rise Up. Anyway. Is it because we've got Holy Bible on it that makes it holy? No. It's really, if it's sitting in the back window of my car or under the couch, it's just ink on pages, is it not? It's just ink on pages. When God says to be holy because he's holy, you know this. It's speaking of being unique, being other than. God is holy because he's not like any other God. Okay? So, is holiness an attribute of God? Like his love and mercy? Let me back up. What makes this Bible holy? It's the inspiration of God. It's what you do with it. What makes it holy, what makes it distinct, what makes it unique is what we do with it. To a Muslim, he just shuck this and burn it. Wouldn't be holy. And it's not really holy to us underneath the couch or in the back seat of the window. And if it's in the back window of your car, it's going to fade. You know, but when we read it, when we study it, when we live by it, then it becomes distinct and unique in our lives. Amen. It's the same way with Shabbat or the Sabbath day. Was it because God said it was holy? That it was holy? No. I'll answer that. No. It's because of God's actions that made it holy. In 6 days he created the heavens and earth, but on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. It was his actions that separated it. It was his actions that made it holy. Amen? We serve a holy God. It's God's actions that make him holy. Amen. It's his moral purity that makes him unique, that sets him apart. See, what's going to make you holy? Listen, I'm going to tell you, Paul called you the sanctuary, the temple of the living God. So, am I somebody? Am I somebody because I'm the holy sanctuary of God? Or is it my actions, my attitude, and my conduct that make me a holy vessel, a holy sanctuary unto God? Holiness is not, this Bible is not holy on its own. Now somebody get mad at me on that. It's not holy on its own. It only becomes holy when it's set apart in my life. When it's used in my life to cause me to be distinct, causes me to be other than, I'm not like the humanist. See, one of the things that the humanists do is they don't have a regard for life. They have no regard for the sanctity of life. I mean, look where we have went. We have went from having abortion being illegal, but done in alleyways and, you know, in secret, to now we legalized abortion. Then we stepped up under Bill Clinton and we had the partial birth abortion bill where we could go up in the womb and kill the child. To now we've graduated to we can kill the child after it's born. Says that's murder. You can slice it any way you want. It says it's murder. You can call it my choice, but my Bible says it's murder. Remember, humanism says whatever you think is best, do it. Holiness says whatever this word of God says, I will do it. That's why Paul said, be a doer, not just a hearer. If you're not a doer of this word, God can't change your life. You'll never be a holy people. See, Sunday, we celebrate Sabbath on Sunday. I would love to celebrate Shabbat on the true seventh day of the week. But I'd have to change a whole culture. And if God speaks to me, we'll make an attempt. But until that time, I treat Saturday as my Sabbath. Okay? All right? However, Sunday's our Sabbath in Christendom. So that's treated as holy, unique, other than. What are we going to do on Sunday? Sleep in. Veg out. Stay out real late. Stay up all night on Saturday night. Sleep in on Sunday. See, if you're going to treat Shabbat as holy, then it's got to be different from other days, right? It's going to be your actions that make it holy. Amen? So, with that said, God said, I need to get to this other point before I go here. I almost messed up. Turn with me to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Oh, hang in there, relax, stretch your legs. We're getting closer to being done. Exodus 19. They've left Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've come to Mount Sinai. Amen. And pick it up in verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now look what he says. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. I'm going to make a point here because I'm a pastor. You know, I've talked to people before, and they want to talk about all the problems the church has. I told one guy at the Y in Jackson one time, I said, you know, I'm not going to stand here unless you badmouth pastors. They were, him and two other guys was really giving pastors down the road, you know, and then they didn't know me. I finally stood up, you know. I said, hi, I'm Pastor Butch. I pastor Church of the King. I love to do that. Or they're really letting the four-letter words fly, you know. So who are you? I'm Pastor Butch. I pastor Church of the King. I love to do that. It's just kind of, I let him go, let him go, let him go. Guy came to a yard sale, and he was just really, really pretty vulgar. Then he says, I said, you know a friend of mine, so-and-so. And he said, yeah. He said, well, how do you know him? I said, I'm his pastor. You know, and he starts apologizing. I said, you know, pigs oink, cows moo, sinner sin. You know, you didn't offend me. You know, you didn't disappoint me because, you know, you're not. It's if it's I love Jesus on your chest and then you act like that. You know, so anyway, God asked for a holy nation, right? A holy nation, not an individual, a nation, a community. I'll submit to you this morning, I don't believe you can live holy without the community of believers, without your church family. You've heard me many times say, you need us to grow. You need us to offend you. So that you can get over it. So that you can learn to say you're sorry. Huh? Come on now. You need us. Now, I want to read you something. This just blew me away. The Pew Research Center did a Pew Research Center. It took a survey and says it reveals that most mainline Christian churches and many denominations, talking about that holy nation of God, agree that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. With the Unitarian Universalist Church leading even atheists and agnostics in their advocacy of the lethal practice. I don't even consider Universalists a church. They don't believe in God. You know, anything goes. They're humanists. Anything you want to do, anything that you think is right, bring it to our study group. You know, so let me get back to this survey. The Unitarian Universalist Church in the survey, 90% were pro-abortion. In atheist, 87% were pro-abortion. Now, this one blew me away. Jewish people who were surveyed, 87%. Listen, there are a lot of Judaism is secular. Okay, just because they're a Jew doesn't mean they have a spiritual bone in their body. Okay, Buddhist, 82% are pro-abortion. Episcopal Church, 79% are pro-abortion. United Church of Christ, 72%. And the Hindus, 68%. People who said they didn't belong to any particular denomination, 67%. Presbyterian Church USA, 65%. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, 65%. African Methodist Episcopal Church, that's a mouthful, 64%. United Methodist Church, 58% of the people surveyed believed in abortion. National Baptist Convention, 57%. Anglican Church, 56%. Presbyterian Church in America, oh, that's different. One of them is real liberal, 54%. Orthodox Church, such as Greek Orthodox Church, 53%. Catholics, 48%. I mean, they don't even take, well, they take birth control now, but, you know, back in the day they didn't. American Baptist Churches, 47%. Lutheran Church, Missouri, 46%. Seventh-day Adventist, 42%. Church of God in Christ, 41%. Churches of Christ, 36%. Southern Baptist, 30%. Mormons, 27%. Church of the Nazarene, 27%. Assemblies of God, 26%. Church of God, 20%. And Jehovah Witness, 18%. My Lord, what are they thinking? How could you call yourself part of the holy nation of God and be for murdering babies? They're serving the God of humanism. I've told you for years, there are thousands of people out there that pray to prayer because hell is a bad option. And I agree, hell's a bad option. You know? Hell is a bad option. But they have no relationship with God. The Torah doesn't govern their life. The power of holiness is not residing in them, which is Christ, the Spirit of Messiah living in them. He's not living there. He's not dwelling there. He's not in their services. Amen. I got an amen. Thank you, Hopi. Hallelujah. So for us, if we're going to be a holy people, then our actions, our attitudes, our conduct must reveal to the world that we are governed by a holy word. Does that make any sense? You can call it holy, but it's only holy. The holiness is determined by your actions. But the power to live according to that word is the Spirit of Messiah living in you. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Help me. Glory. Help them. You know what I think we ought to do right now? Take communion. Bernie, you and Deb going to help me today? Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. You know, when I wake up in the morning sometimes, I got to pinch myself. The very fact that God chooses to dwell in us with all our warts, with all our failures, he still chooses to dwell in us. But even more than that, he chooses to work through us. I mean, I'm like, really, God? I'd have picked somebody taller, better looking, without such a sordid past as mine. But you know what? The Bible says that my sins and your sins are as far as the east is from the west. As long as you're going east, you can't catch up with west. As long as you're going west, you'll never catch up with east. As long as you're walking with God and Messiah is in you, there's no guilt or condemnation. It can't catch up with you. Now somebody will bring it up. Somebody will bring it up to aggravate you. That's when you got to live holy. That's when that word of God's got to kick in and take over and allow you to be unique, different, and let them know that you are different than what you used to be. I had a man tell me one time, he showed up at church when we was in the storefront. And during the altar call, he just cried like a baby. But he never would come forward. And so I went back afterwards to talk to him, and I said, how you doing? He said, good friend of mine. He said, well, he said, I had a heart attack. And he said, when I was laying on that gurney, he said, I told God, if you let me live, I'll go to Butch Deer's church. I was like, really? I said, why pick my church? And you got to remember, this young man was raised, he was raised in a denomination. And his parents were the pastors. And he watched these church folk talk about their dad and mom, just about starve their mom and dad, keep them in poverty. You know, you got to keep the pastor poor, keep him humble. You know, don't try that with me. Just saying. And so I said, why did you say you wanted to come to my church? He said, because you're the first person that I've ever seen that God really changed. So you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's listening to you. And later on, he ended up passing away. But his wife told me, said, you wouldn't have recognized him. Said he would go to church and he would lift his hands and praise God, and then he'd get on everybody else. Like, what's wrong with you people? That you can't lift your hands for God. And then she told me some other things that just blessed my heart. Listen, people are watching your attitude. They're watching your tongue and they're watching your conduct. So if you're going to tell everybody you serve a holy God, then you better let him rule in your heart and rule in your actions. Amen. If you're going to be part of that holy nation. Father, we thank you for Jesus and what he means to us. And I just ask you, Lord. I ask you, Father, this morning, that you would just embrace these, your people, with your mighty arms of love and mercy. We call this the communion table. We believe that you are here with us. Lord Jesus, your spirit is with us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. The word of God says you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed and made whole. This morning, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, in remembrance you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, in remembrance that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, in remembrance that you are our high priest interceding for us, and in remembrance that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Now, after we drink of this cup, everybody just stay calm, stay seated, okay? Let the music play, Terry, okay? All right. Now on three, we're going to say L'chaim, means to life. Ready? One, two, three. L'chaim. Bible says that life is in the blood, and at Calvary the Lord Jesus poured out his life so that we could be partakers of that life, and not mere partakers. We can have as much of that life as we want. Jesus is talking about your relationship with God. You can have as much of that relationship as you're willing to put in. Amen. We also know that this cup represents that fourth cup at a Jewish betrothal ceremony, where the groom doesn't drink of that fourth cup, but the young bride does. And it's a vow of her faithfulness and fidelity until her bridegroom comes. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for your life. And as a vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until you come, we drink of this cup this morning. Now I want every head bowed, every eye closed real quick. It won't take a long time here. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Is anybody in here, you say, you know what, I've never been born again. Or maybe you've gotten away from Father's house and you just need to come back. Anybody like that at all, you just slip up your hand. Because if you slip up your hand, I'm going to ask you to come up front, okay? I'll just be honest and up front. Okay? But it'll be the best day of your life. Anybody at all? I'm looking around. Anybody at all? Everybody, all hearts are right with God. I would be remiss if I didn't ask. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, look up here. Everybody blessed. Now, who's got a phone that can draw a calendar up really fast? Because I think we failed to get this in the bulletin. That would be my fault. Pull up a calendar. Hi, Hope. Hi, Hopey. I want to see when Resurrection Sunday is. April what? April 12th. So 12 day, April 12th is Resurrection Sunday. So 11th, the 10th would be Good Friday. That's when we have Passover on the 10th. So we go from the 10th backwards, 10 days, would put us at March 31st. And 11 more days would put us at March 20th, right? So March 20th, we did a 30-day fast back in August, September. So we're going to do a 21-day Daniel fast starting March 20th up to Passover. Now, we're taking a break because we usually do a 30-day fast, right? So we'll do 21 days leading up to Passover. I am not going to reinvent the wheel. I will get my brother's notes. He's got some really good notes on the Daniel fast. I'll try to remember to bring those to you so you'll have them. You know, it's hard for him to get away from his church, but I thought maybe I'd just bring him in and let him teach, you know, between now and then. Then I had to give him some money. What? Did we? Oh, okay. Well, he's added to some stuff, so maybe there's some stuff new. Maybe there's something else on there we can eat. But remember this. If you're just fasting and not spending quality time in prayer, you're just going hungry. Okay? Amen? Let me bless you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. I thank you, Lord, for these your people. Father, I look forward to the day when this church is full. We have to have multiple services. And your spirit is flowing out of this house from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Healing and making people whole. Setting the captives free. Father, I thank you for your impartation to some of our ladies in this church, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the connection to E4N. And now, Lord, I ask you, bless these spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Bless us in every area of our life. And Father, give us somebody this week that we can tell about, we can give them the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You be blessed.